This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech the king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, "You are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." We have been journeying with Abraham now for quite some time. We have watched him as he stepped out in faith to leave Babylon, to journey to a land that God would show him. We watched him as he walked in faith with God. We watched him as God progressively revealed himself to Abraham. We followed him out under the stars when he looked up into the heavens and heard the word of God saying to him, "And if you can number the stars of heaven, so shall your seed be." We saw him as God made his covenant with Abram. We saw him as God accounted him righteous because of his believing and his faith. We heard God declare to Abram the 7 I wills of what I'm going to do for you after he established the covenant with him. We have seen him as he pursued the kings from Babylon, destroyed them with his 318 trained servants. We've been with him as he has walked in faith and progressed in faith, but we have also observed that his faith was not always constant. Even this man that God uses as an example to those who would believe God, he had times of lapses of faith, times when he failed the test. And such is the case before us in the 20th chapter. Right after his eating together with God and interceding for the city of Sodom, in our next scene, we see the dismal failure of this mighty man of God. He reverts back to the old nature of the flesh. The story of Abraham here does help to bring to us the recognition of the inspiration of the scriptures. You see, if this were just a fable and they were trying to build up a person that could be an object of our hero worship, because everybody loves to worship a hero. We have something within us that wants to admire and look up to people, and we develop the heroes. And when we are seeking to develop the image of a hero, all we do is tell of their victories, their conquest, their greatness, but we don't bother showing their failures and their weaknesses. We don't expose that other side of the picture because we don't want people to be disillusioned. But God is so open with the failures of the man as well as the victories of the man. And so Abram, not only was he a man of great faith, blessed of God and used of God, yet he is a man of great failure. And God speaks bluntly about the failures of the man. And here we see the sad failure of Abraham as he went down into the country of the Philistines, and he lied concerning his wife Sarah, saying, "She is my sister." The greatest of saints is capable of miserable failure. There's only one hero in the Bible. And he is the hero of this story. Even in the story of Abraham's failure, we find the faithfulness of God and the grace of God revealed. And so the Bible doesn't seek to establish any man as your hero, that you might worship them. Moses, Joseph, Joshua, Daniel, Paul, as great as these men were, they were just men, and they were all subject to failures. And the Bible lets us know their failures so that we would not look to man as our example, but we would look only to Jesus Christ. He is the one who was true through every test, who passed with flying colors every situation. He is the one that the Bible points to us as perfect. The failure of Abraham here is not the failure of a young, inexperienced disciple. This didn't happen at the beginning, the story that we're dealing with today. This happened towards the end of his career. After he had been walking with the Lord for years, he should have, by now, progressed further than this. But he was willing to give up his wife to the passions of a pagan king to spare his own skin. Fearful of his own life, he would allow his wife to become a part of the harem of Abimelech, would allow her to be used by Abimelech sexually just to save his own skin. There's not much honor to that. There's not much faith in that. It is a rather heinous kind of a sin that Abram committed. But you know, as long as we are in these bodies, we're going to have problems with our flesh. And Abram is just another example of men who walk with God. Men who know the power of God and yet have those areas in their flesh where there is a weakness. When we see Abraham, this great man of faith, failing so miserably, we might ask, what hope is there for any of us? And the answer is, there is no hope except for the grace of God. I mean, you just can't make it on your own. There's just no way that you can do it yourself. We are all shut up to the grace of God, and if it were not for the grace of God, none of us could ever stand before Him in His kingdom. We notice that this sin that Abraham committed is the reoccurrence of an old sin. When he first came into the land of promise and there was a famine, he went down to Egypt. And when he came into Egypt, he said to Sarah, oh, you're so beautiful. These people are so wicked. When they see you, they're going to kill me so that they can take you. Please tell them that you are my sister so that my life will be spared. And so there in Egypt, when Sarah came into the land, the men were all attracted to her beauty. And someone told the Pharaoh, my, there's such a beautiful woman that has come. And so the Pharaoh called for her to come into his harem. And Abram did the same thing. He let Sarah go into the harem of the Pharaoh. But before the Pharaoh could sin, God halted him, rebuked him. And Pharaoh rebuked Abraham and banished him from Egypt. Said, get out of here. Now, 25 years later, after all of these marvelous experiences of the revelation of God to Abram, the covenant that God established with him, walking by faith with God, seeing the power and the hand of God upon his life, 25 years later, what is he doing? The exact same thing. He's falling back into the exact same sin. Now, this sin continued in his heart these 25 years, though it had not had a chance to be manifested, it nonetheless was there. You see, there just wasn't an opportunity for it to be displayed. What sin is there that lurks in our own hearts? We don't know. After 25 years, it could be that Abram thought, well, you know, I can be tempted in some areas, but man, I've got this one whipped, you know, and I'm strong here. But he wasn't. He didn't know that. God did. And so God has to bring circumstances to pass so that Abraham can see the weakness still of his own flesh, the weakness of his own faith. We don't know what's in our hearts. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it asks the question, who can know it? David said, I don't know my heart. You search me, Lord. You know my heart. You try me. You see if there's some way of sin in me, and then you lead me in your path. So oftentimes we begin to get a little spiritually smug. We begin to think, well, I've really conquered over the old man and the old nature and the flesh now. I won't have any more problems because I've got this whole thing wired and, you know, I've got my flesh under control, and you don't really know what's in your heart, so God will allow circumstances to come along to reveal what is in your heart, what is in your flesh. And sometimes we fail so miserably, and then we feel so horrible and so guilty. God, how can I do that? I've been walking with you for so many years. I thought I had victory in that area of my life, Lord. And here I am 25 years later doing the same thing over. Oh, God. No hope. The problem with Abraham is that he had not dealt with it thoroughly the first time around. He had not really confessed it. He had not really dealt with it. And it still is there. And so God allows it to be revealed again in order that he might deal with it, in order that he might eradicate it from his life. When talking to the children of Israel, God said, I took you through the wilderness for 40 years to try you and to prove you, to see what was in your heart. Not that God might see, he always knew, that you might see. You didn't know what was there. And so God allows these testings in your life, not that God might see if you're going to stand or not. He knows. But that you might see. And that in understanding those places of weakness, you might learn to rely upon God and upon his strength rather than upon your flesh and your own abilities. And so here is Abraham now, 25 years after the experience in Egypt, repeating the very same sin over again. And so we find that verse 13 gives us a little bit of an insight as to why this was a reoccurring sin in Abraham's life. Abimelech, in the intervening verses here, has been warned of God in a dream, and he calls Abraham in and he rebukes him. He said, what have you done, man? You know, leading us into this sin and all. And he gave him money and said, go buy your wife a veil. And Abraham, in explaining the situation, said that before they left his father's house, while they were still in Babylon, because of Sarah's beauty, he said to her, please do me this favor. Wherever we go into a strange land, say that you are my sister. In other words, it was sort of a pre-programmed failure of faith. Whenever we hit this particular trial, here's how we're going to fail it. You know, and you've pre-programmed the failure in. I know I can't do that. I know that I'm just weak there. I know that there's no way I can conquer there. And you've pre-programmed failure. So that there's no struggle, there's no fight. I mean, you've already got it planned how you're going to fail when you get to that particular place. Again, it's all pre-programmed in. And do you know that you can actually pre-program failure into your life? When I first started learning to water ski, the first time up on the skis, going behind the boat for a ways, I finally thought, well, I'm going to cross the wake, but I know when I cross the wake, I'm going to fall. So I tried to cross the wake and I fell because I knew I was going to. I pre-programmed that. There was no really any real reason for me to fall except that I had pre-programmed, oh, I can't do that. When I try to do it, I'm going to fall. So I got up in the wake and, you know, fall, you know, because pre-programmed, it's all there. Didn't have to, but I had pre-programmed myself to fall. I know I can't go over that. Well, after skiing for years, the wake becomes a fascinating challenge. To see if you can hit the first wake and jump over the second, you know. And I mean, now it's a challenge. Say, man, I'm going to hit that one. I'm going to jump clear across the other one, you know. And you start jumping the wakes and you start playing with it. And you've gotten rid of that pre-programmed, I'm going to fall when I hit the wake. So with life, the pre-programmed failure, I know I can't do it. Boy, I know when that comes along, I'm going to fall. Boy, I have no strength there. I'm going to fall in that trap. And as soon as it comes, man, I'm done with, you know. And you've already pre-programmed your failure. Abram had pre-programmed it in. Hey, now whenever we come into it, you just say, you're my sister. It's all set, you know. This is how we're going to fail this test every time we face it. So God had to deal with it. God let him come to the place of failure. You see, there was a tremendous inconsistency with Abraham's faith. He could take 318 of his servants and pursue after these powerful alliance of kings and defeat them and destroy them. But yet, faith that God would help him conquer those kings, but he doesn't have faith that God can preserve him in the face of Abimelech. No, he's going to kill me. And yet, he had faith that God was going to give him a son through Sarah. And that through Sarah, the Messiah would come, the seed would bless the world. He had faith. In fact, it was when he believed God that God imputed that faith for righteousness when God took him out under the stars. And he believed God when God said, so shall your seed be. He believed God and God had counted that for righteousness. So he believed that God was through Sarah going to give him a son that would be the blessing of the world. And yet, he believed that he was going to get killed before he had a chance to have that son. Wait a minute. There's an inconsistency here. When you haven't yet had the son by Sarah, how can you get killed and God keep his promise that you're going to have a son through Sarah? And so the inconsistency of his faith. Might I suggest that your faith also is inconsistent? For you seem to have the faith that God is going to take care of your eternal well-being. And I can sing, it is well with my soul. My eternal life is settled. It's in Christ, and God is going to bring me into his glorious kingdom. I have committed my eternal welfare unto God, and he is going to take care of me. And I believe and trust him for my eternal welfare. But boy, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know how God's going to work this one out. This one's just really got me now, you know. And though I can trust God with my eternity, I can't trust him with my day-to-day situations. I buckle under the daily. Though, well, eternity, there's no problem. God's got that all wired. Faith for eternity, but I can't have faith for tomorrow. inconsistency. And so Abram's inconsistency of faith. And yet, this is the man that God points to you as an example. And he says, look, here's a man who believed me and walked with me in faith. Now you walk as did Abraham. Aren't you glad he wasn't perfect? Had he been perfect, then I would have given up a long time ago. I said, well, man, I'd sure like to walk like Abraham. But I've really made a mess of it. Now, let's look at how God dealt with Abraham in this failure. First of all, Abraham was willing to forego the promises of God and the plan of God for the Messiah. He was willing to allow his wife to be corrupted by this pagan king and the seed to be corrupted so that the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah would not come to pass. Abraham was willing to forego that in his failure. But it is interesting for me to note, even though Abraham failed, God didn't. And even though Abraham wasn't willing to protect his wife, God was. And even if Abraham was willing to give up on the program of God, God wasn't. And so God moved sovereignly to protect Abraham and to protect Sarah. Not because they deserved it. They were in a jam that they had created of their own doing. It was through their own deceit that they had found themselves in these compromising circumstances. And yet God, by his grace, sovereignly moves to protect his plan for the future. And so he comes to this pagan king at night in a dream and says, hey, if you touch that woman, you're dead. It's all over. Gave him a nightmare. And then what does God tell him to do? You go to this man who deceived you. You go to this man who did not have enough faith to trust in me, and you ask him to pray for you because he's a prophet, and I will honor his prayers. Now there's the grace of God. You see, Abram really didn't deserve this position of being called a prophet of God at this point. He had failed. In fact, Abimelech saw him as a miserable failure. Abimelech rebuked him. What have you done, man? What have you got against us that you would do this to us, you know, and bring this evil upon us, this sin upon our nation? Why would you do this to us? And he saw Abraham as a sinner, and he rebuked him as such. But God saw him as a prophet, one whose prayers would be honored by God. And therein we see the grace of God manifested towards his servant Abram, willing to forgive the failure of his flesh that he might accomplish his purpose through his life. Many times, we as Abraham have lapses in our faith, and reverting to fleshly measures, we find ourselves in trouble. We really don't deserve that God should help us out of the problem. We don't deserve that God should solve the dilemma. We really deserve what we've got. What is there, what we're facing, we deserve the punishment. But because you're a child of God, because you're his servant, God in his grace reaches out to help, to deliver. And it's amazing to me how easily God can persuade even pagan kings. All he has to do is scare him to death in a dream at night. And he can change the course of history. Oh, God can change the course of your history so easily. He can change those circumstances so simply. It looks to us so impossible. And yet with God, it is so simple for God to work in your behalf. And God desires to work in your behalf by His grace. No, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve the blessings. We don't deserve the favor of God. We deserve what we have coming to us. But God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. But as high as the heaven is above the earth, so high is His mercy. And God looks down upon you with your failures, and He treats you so kindly in love. As He lifts you up, as He dusts you off, as He sets you back on your feet, and as He encourages you and say, "Now, child, walk. Trust in Me." Those areas of failure where I trip up are not that I might fall. It is that I might learn not to trust myself, but to trust in God who is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before His presence. And so God maybe has revealed a weakness in your life this week. Maybe you've come to the test and you have failed, and maybe it's a place of consistent failure. Maybe you've pre-programmed the failure. Maybe you've despaired and say, "I'll never have victory over that. Every time it comes along, man, I'm back into the soup again." Doesn't have to be. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. If we will renounce it, if we will confess them, but that's the thing. God, I am weak. God, I can't do it. God, I know that I will fail, but I ask You to strengthen me. Help me. Do for me, God, what I can't do for myself. And I'd like to bear witness to you this morning that in place after place in my own life where I was weak and where I have failed and where I had pre-programmed failure, God has finally taken over and worked, and God has given to me glorious victory which I could not in and of myself achieve or attain. God has done a work in my life, bringing me a place of victory and power in Christ. Oh, hey, I'm not yet perfect. I've not yet apprehended that for which I've apprehended. I'm going to stumble more. I know that. But I know that when I stumble, He'll not let me fall. But He will bear me up. And He will teach me that herein is another place where I was just trusting in my own strength and I dare not. I must lean upon Him completely and trust in Him fully if I am to stand. Now, I don't like to believe that. I would like to believe that Chuck Smith had some worth and some value. And there are some areas where I'm pretty good, and God is only proving to me that I'm not, as He lets me stumble, but He never lets me fall. For as I am falling underneath of the everlasting arms, and God lifts me up, and God sustains, and God forgives, and I walk in His strength. Oh, how grateful I am for the grace of God whereby I stand today. Shall we pray? We thank You, Father, that underneath are the everlasting arms, holding, sustaining. Father, we pray today that You will minister now by Your Spirit to those who are in need, those who have been caught up in their own devices, those whose lives are a mess because of what they have done. God, we thank you for that purpose that you have for their lives. That you have purposed that they should share with you in the eternal kingdom of your grace and love. And though Satan has stumbled them, and they are falling, hold them up, Lord, with your hand today. And may they with David confess their sins, that they might find that forgiveness, that work of your Spirit, that work of grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. I really knew better. I know I shouldn't have done it. Oh, what a mess I've made. How many times I've heard that confession? God really doesn't owe me anything. I wouldn't blame him for wiping me out. I don't deserve it. But that's what grace is all about. You don't deserve it. And yet God loves us. And God wants to deal with those issues in your life. And he'll allow the situations to arise again, those circumstances that will reveal what's in your heart, that you might confess your sin, that you might forsake your sin. And as Jesus said to the woman, that you might go your way and sin no more. Find real victory by trusting now in the strength and in the power of his Spirit. May God be with you and bless you and keep you in his love. Those that desire, feel free to go back to the prayer room. Talk to God before you go. Let the Spirit of God do his work in your life. And may you have a beautiful week as you walk in fellowship with God and as you experience the grace of God towards you in Christ Jesus.